Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time. Purport. It's a very long purport, so we'll try and, given the circumstances of time, we'll try and do as much as we can. Okay, herein Arjuna refers to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord Himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads, Puranas, Vedanta Sutras, etc. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, the laborers, namely the women, those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to the material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. And it continues like that. It talks about faithful human beings, talks about there are five important factors of knowledge that have been delineated pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead: the living being, nature, time, space, and the process of activity. And so on, it continues like that. So I invite you to read the purport. It's a very large purport, but it's very, very exciting purport. So before I begin the class, I'd like to just seek blessings from all the Vaishnavas assembled here and online. Sitar Prabhu, Gaudrama Prabhu, Gaur Krishna Prabhu, Srinivas Prabhu, Prayajana Prabhu, Jagatpriya Mataji, etc. And just so that I can say of some value on this class, I'm just repeating what the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada has said during this class especially. And so I'd just like to seek blessings. So just repeat the translation. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjaya Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so I'd like to begin with a quick story. Story starts like this. It says, in the 10th century BC, the time of the wise King Solomon, there lived an innocent little woman. One morning, Rachel was smelling the hot aromatic steam from the bakery. She allowed the scented air to surround her with sugary comfort. The smell of breads and cakes entered her nose, giving her a reprieve from her life of struggle as a poor woman. The baker, an envious man, came out of the bakery when he saw the woman enjoying herself so much. "You cannot smell my bread and cakes for free. You must buy something," he yelled at her. Rachel just stood there dumbfounded. The baker kept insisting that she buy something. Rachel told him that she couldn't pay anything. "I was only smelling the breads, not eating them," she said. Then the baker took her by the elbow and led her against her will. Later, the baker then led us against her wishes toward the palace of King Solomon. He forced her into the presence of the wise king in the great hall, where he heard disagreements and decided resolutions. Rachel, the poor woman, who was used to squatting in her hut to cook, saw the vastness of surroundings as a source of fear. The floors were inlaid with tan and green marble. The strong sentries stood at 6 different entrances as the king sat on the throne, a few steps above everyone else. It's a bit like what I'm sitting at the moment. King Solomon's commanding presence looked down on the sniveling baker and the quiet yet apprehensive woman. The baker spoke up. "I found this woman enjoying herself outside my bakery, smelling my breads and cakes. The smell comes from my work, my flour, my butter, my sugar, my shop, and therefore I demand payment from her." The king listened and then asked Rachel, "Is this true? Were you smelling the bread and cakes?" "Well, yes," she stammered. King Solomon continued, "Do you have any money?" Rachel, who was honest, said, "Yeah, I have 3 coins." "Give them to me," said the king. When Rachel handed her 3 coins to the king, they clanged and chimed together. King Solomon looked at the baker and decreed, "The sound of her coins just paid for the smell of your bread." He kindly gave Rachel her coins back, invited her to work in the palace, which improved her life and contributed to her happiness. So you see, like this, how many of us are Rachels looking for happiness in this poor little material world? Prabhupada gave 2 classes on this particular verse, 1:15:27. One was on December the 5th, 1973 in Los Angeles, and one was March 6, 1975 in New York. And in that class, Prabhupada expertly delivered so many aspects of this particular verse. Now, one may think that, okay, this verse is just about Bhagavad Gita, Krishna saying to Arjuna, just read the Bhagavad Gita and you'll find some relief. But Prabhupada actually highlighted the mercy, the compassion of Krishna, how it actually flows through his many, many ways. Prabhupada covered the Bhagavad Gita. He covered his deity form. He also covered his mantra. So we will cover these things. He also covered how this world, this material world, is none other than poison. It's actually Visha, where there's poison of Maya, there's no enjoyment but suffering, there's always anxiety. He also covered about how we are burning living entities. Actually, he says, we are toasting nicely in this material world, full of anxiety and material attachment. Krishna consciousness actually removes all of this anxiety, but we won't get a chance to cover all of these things given the time. Lastly, what I'll do is try and cover compassion, what actually takes us, that compassion, away from Krishna. So, compassion. How many words in Sanskrit or Bengali can anyone describe compassion? Or mercy? Karuna, yes. Daya, yes. Kripa, yes. All three of the first three of them I've got on the list. Yes. Prasadam, okay. Very good, yes. So prasad is also mercy, the Lord. What else? The one more he mentioned, or at least I found, is anukampam. Anukampam is a special mercy or compassion that we get from the Lord. There are many more like that. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 8. It says, Tantate nukampam shushmikshamano bunjani vatma kritam kipvipakam ridvag vipurbir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti padase dayabhak. The translation is that, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So that's a very powerful verse. It just says, you just have to live in this material world, do the necessary that needs to be done for Krishna consciousness, and then you'll get your claim back. Simple. This is the premise of the class today, basically. What I wanted to talk about is compassion in devotional service. So what is devotional service? What is compassion in devotional service? Or rather, devotional service in compassion. Any ideas? Devotional service in compassion. Yes, Prabhupada. Giving out Prabhupada books. So in one of the books, Nectar of Devotion, chapter 47, describes this as, when the ecstasy of devotional service produces some kind of lamentation in connection with Krishna, it is called devotional service in compassion. So this further describes, the impetuses for this devotional service are Krishna's transcendental quality, form and activities. We will talk about some of these aspects in a bit. In this ecstasy of devotional service, there are sometimes symptoms like regret, heavy breathing, crying, falling on the ground, beating upon one's chest. Sometimes symptoms like laziness, frustration, defamation, humility, anxiety, moroseness, eagerness, restlessness, madness, death, forgetfulness, disease, and illusion are also visible. When in the heart of a devotee there is expectation of some mishap to Krishna, it is called devotional service in bereavement. Now this is bereavement, death. Such bereavement is another symptom of devotional service in compassion. These are heavy words that Nectar of Devotion actually states. So Arjuna, in this story, Arjuna, after all these months being away in Dwarka, with so much distress, and then having to come back to Yudhishthira Maharaj and relay every point to torment his mind further, was full of anxiety and burning up in this tap. This heart is burning up with this anxiety of actually his separation of Krishna. And so now it says, the verse says, when I remember the teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, then it relieves me. It relieves me. So aren't we all similarly suffering in this burning material world? So naturally, where should we actually find the relief? Rita tapa upashamani, rita tapa, the blazing fire within the heart immediately becomes relieved. Where should we find that relief? How many famous personalities do we know who have found solace and relief from reading the essence of the Vedic wisdom? From the Bhagavad Gita, yes. How many personalities? Gandhi, yes, very good. Tupac. Well, not on my list, but I said that's within etc., etc. Einstein, yes. Will Smith, yes. Recently, Will Smith, yes. Will Smith, huh? Hitler, yes. For the wrong reasons, of course, I'm sure. Yes, many more like that. So Gandhi was, Prabhupada actually uses this as an example. He says Gandhi was a politician, although he could not understand Bhagavad Gita, neither he could understand Krishna. Still, he said, when I read, I get great relief. He was always terribly busy, so many politicians, so many problems to solve and so on. But there was no spiritual understanding to these politicians. Sometimes they take the spiritual shelter, so-called, for getting some benefit, for their gain, to increase their movement and enhance their lifestyle. But anyway, the point is, Bhagavad Gita, if we even just read it without actually understanding it, we get relief. When I was working a few years ago, sometimes before I go to work, I'll just open randomly a page of Bhagavad Gita, and then instantly I'll find, wow, that was so powerful. Actually, I needed to just hear exactly that. How many of us have felt that? All of us. Bhagavad Gita is such a wonderful book. It's an essential reading material for anyone, not just devotees. It's just anyone. I mean, we give that book out to, you know, Antaranga Prabhu goes out on Sankirtan, gives that book out to anyone. Actually, when they're just even holding that book, gives people relief. Why is that? It's transcendental. It's spiritual material. It is actually non-different to Krishna. So Prabhupada stresses this very heavily in his class about this verse. He says, Krishna is immensely merciful. He has actually not only come here on the altar. A lot of people, atheists, think, oh, you're doing idol worship. Idol worship, you're just worshipping a stone made of wood or stone or metals. But actually, is it idol worship? Or is it his causeless mercy that actually has come in front of us? How many of us actually stand in front of the altar and feel instant love for Krishna? How many of us? Show of hands? Nice. So that instant love is exactly what we want. Because Krishna is there. He is here right now. That form is Krishna. We have to reciprocate with him. We have to develop that love for him. Jagatpriya Mataji and Ladies Ashram make garlands like this, amazing garlands to dress him so nicely for our pleasure, so we can be attracted to him even momentarily. Maharaj was saying in the class yesterday, our material mind, memory, yesterday's dress, what color was it? Yellow? Pink. Exactly. It was purple and pink flowers and Radharani's flowers. Already we've forgotten. See what I mean? But if we wanted to buy a sari or a dress, Maharaj said, yes, we'll remember it because we want to buy it for our own sense enjoyment. If we turn that sense enjoyment, or in fact, just turn it into love for Krishna, turn it for his sense enjoyment. Jagatpriya Mataji, I'm sure she remembers because she dresses him so nicely for our benefit. Let's develop that love for him. So he's appeared out of his causeless mercy for the 80s to take the mickey, saying, ah, look at these silly Hare Krishnas, they're just worshipping deities. Well, we're developing love for Godhead. Another mercy. So Bhagavad Gita, we talked about Archa Murti, or Archa Avatar, the incarnation of Archa, is what that form is for us. Instead, we should perform ideal worship rather than just idol worship. Develop that love for him in servitude. Love for him in servitude. Another mercy from the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and said, in what form? Hari Naam. Hari Naam eva kevalam kalo nastyeva nastyeva gati nanyatha. Developing love for the Lord through simple chanting, simply chanting his names and dancing. You see, in this scenario, we don't even need the Bhagavad Gita. We don't even need the deities. Actually, just the chanting of the Lord's names out on Sankirtan or in Harinam we get that relief from the burning of the heart. Simple. No? And hopefully soon, very soon, we'll be able to go out on Harinam. This weekend, right, Shatapuru? So this weekend, we should be able to go out and sing on the streets and actually give this holy name to the people out there who are suffering from this toasting of the material world. They think they're enjoying, but actually they're suffering. So developing that love of Godhead simply through chanting is exactly what is needed. Chant his holy names. We had an ecstatic kirtan led by an ecstatic personality, Ian Prabhu, earlier on. And I was thinking, wow, this is nice. Let me just have a little dance along as well, and got some relief through the anxiety of giving this class, you know. However, there are a few things that actually takes us away from that mercy. There's other things that Prabhupada mentioned in his class, but we've got 15 minutes and I want to cover off a couple of other things. In Jaiva Dharma, Jaiva Dharma is a very, very favorite book of our dear most Srinivas Prabhu. So when I was talking to him, he actually enlightened me about the five types of this particular thing that actually takes us away from developing that love of Godhead. So we're just about to take darshan of the love of Godhead, rather his archa form, archa avatar. Any moment now. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gornithai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. And there he is in all his glory, in many, many forms. His Shamasunda Tribanga form, three-bending, folding form, so nicely dressed. And what I need to do is to put my glasses on so I can see him a little bit better. And also Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman are also there in all their glory. Gornitai, the most merciful and compassionate lordships themselves, they've actually come so that we can develop our love for him, for his lotus feet, where we should belong and serve as a servant should be, and develop that bhakti and that prem. So it says that the Supreme Lord alone, in Jaiva Dharma, chapter 8, Nitya Dharma, and chapter entitled Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava Behavior on page 117, it states that there are five types of, what's the opposite of love?
Lust.
Lust, yes. And what's another word for lust?
Desire.
Envy. Envy, desire is close there, but it's, yes, lust, envy. Envy actually curtails the compassion from the Lord and his pure devotees, actually takes us away from getting that mercy that we so desire. We could mechanically do the puja, but if there's envy in our heart, then actually we don't get the mercy that we really desire. In fact, it'll take us away from this process. And so this is their instructions for me, really. And the Supreme Lord alone is ultimately the sole recipient of prema, love, antipathy against the Lord, also known as dvesha, or matsarata, envy or hate, are five types, the five types of envy or hate. Any ideas? Maybe I should just read them out. It'd be easier. First one, skepticism, not having faith in God. So he's appeared. Obviously, the atheists, the non-believers, the agnostics, they may think, oh yeah, no, God doesn't exist. We've got so many of them. That actually is an envy. Will actually take us away. Because that's what they want to believe. Sure, then Krishna creates a situation that they can believe that. Not a problem. At the end of the day, Krishna has created this material world. Through his material energies, we can actually come closer to him. Through his deep, utilizing that material energy, through all the matter that is given to us, we can utilize that to serve Him and develop that love of Godhead. Second one is the belief that is the Supreme Lord is nothing more than a natural potency of the creation, which automatically brings about the result of one's karma. That's an interesting one. Not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord, we talked about that. Not accepting the position of the jiva as the eternal servant of the Lord. That's who we are. Eternal servant of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur clearly mentions this in this book. It talks about different types of servants and how we can eternally serve Him. And then finally, this whole topic, the absence of mercy, is also as a cause of envy. We don't actually get the mercy that we really, really desire without the Lord's compassion and the compassion of His pure devotees. So the person who are polluted by such dvesha can never attain pure bhakti. They do not possess even a slight tinge of the introit bhakti possessed by a Kanishta Adhikari in his deity worship. That's really, again, heavy words. These five dveshas are generally found in persons overly attached to the material world and the sense enjoyment thereof. So, going a little bit deeper in that, talks about how our envious heart can take us away from getting the compassion of the Lord and drawing through that mercy that we actually so desire, and in order to progress ourselves into towards that prema bhakti. In this process, we want to carry on and learn and understand how to purely and perfectly serve Him. So that's basically what I want to talk about. There is an ultimate personality who personifies this mercy form and compassion especially towards all of us. Any ideas who this personality could be? Who actually... Lord Chaitanya, yes. Lord Nityananda is there, yes. But there's one personality who really personifies exactly how... I mean, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda actually came to give us the process of how to do that. But before that, way before in the earlier cantos, canto five. Five? Yeah, I think five. Prahlad Maharaj, yes. So I've got a statement here about Prahlad Maharaj. He says, when he reads, and says, "My dear Lord Narsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mona Vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals." Prabhupada used this word all the time, fools and rascals. "I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet." And this verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, where he says, This is quite a long purpose. I'll just paraphrase. It says, "Therefore, he therefore sees it his duty to remain in this material world in order to bring the fallen conditioned souls back to shelter of Krishna. That is what makes Prahlad Maharaj the shining example of mercy." So in that way, Prabhupada also came, right? All the way from Vrindavan. He wasn't in the Himalayas. He was at the foothills of Himalayas, you could say. But all the way from Vrindavan to us, through his causeless mercy, because he wanted to give us Krishna in his deity form, Krishna in his holy name, Krishna in his prasadam, Krishna in his rathiyatra, many, many ways, so that we can then also try and maybe develop this tiny, tiny tinge of amount of love that Prabhupada had for Krishna. So we just have to endeavor, try and follow this process. But ultimately, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Surrender unto me without fear, I will take care of you." So we take the Bhagavad Gita, the essential text, we eat prasadam, we chant, we give it out to people outside and go back to Godhead. What's the difficulty? Simple, right? So why do we have to struggle our minds? I ask myself this all the time. Why do I have to read all these different scriptures and do this and do that and then go in this text? And I just do this simple process and go back to Godhead. What is the difficulty? So that's what we should do. So in summary, we talked about causeless mercy or compassion of the Lord in the form of Archa Avatar, his deity form, the Bhagavad Gita, the holy name, what takes us away, the five types of envy, and then we concluded in the words of Prahlad Maharaj that actually the best form of compassion is to take it and give it to others. Imbibe it within us and give it to others. That's it. No difficulty. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to take some corrections, chastisements, comments, and questions. Yes, Prabhu. Dear Sam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class.
Hare Krishna.
You were talking at the end about Prahlad Maharaj and how he had such compassion for people, and he wants to save the fools and rascals. So I was just wondering how we can kind of also develop that compassion when we understand that we're the fools and rascals being saved already. So, like, what's our position?
Very nice question. So, Samprabhu, you've developed immensely in your... You actually use your propensity that you're already very familiar with, your musical talents and madanga and singing. And so, actually... though we are fools and rascals, but we've accepted the fact that Krishna is the ultimate Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are here, servants of Srila Prabhupada. So we just still do it. Yeah, okay, we may be fools and rascals, but only fools and rascals can attract other fools and rascals, no? So let's go out there, attract other fools and rascals, and together we'll go back to Godhead. Through the chanting of, through playing nice madanga like you do, and singing like that. Unless somebody else wants to add something, Antaranga Prabhu?
Just another question.
Oh yeah, sure.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Prabhu.
Thank you.
It was interesting that Arjuna said that I really want to take shelter of Bhagavad Gita when he was in a certain situation of distress. Mm-hmm. So how can we present Bhagavad Gita in such a relevant way to the present modern society and really show people that actually you are in a stressful situation? Because people are so much entangled in illusion that they don't even know that there's a fire around them.
Yeah.
They're not aware of their stressful situation. So it's not like we want to create in their mind like you all these bad things, but how can we create the need in their hearts to take shelter of something spiritual?
Very, very good question. Thank you for that. Prabhupada actually mentions that in his two classes. So I've got the references, so if you don't want to listen to that. He mentions that we need to make aware of people of their suffering condition. This is the first point. I'm sure when you go out in Sankirtan, you have many innovative ways of stopping people on the streets and then giving them the Bhagavad Gita. The Gita itself, when people hold it, they have a transformation automatically within them. But to actually convince the masses to understand that this world is full of anxiety, actually it is the world of miseries only. Okay, so we don't really want to put a damper on their day that they're already having a bad day as it is, as you said. However, my Guru Maharaj used to say, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj used to say that actually there is no happiness in this material world. This material world is only misery. Happiness is experienced through momentary absence of misery. Literally, momentary absence. And that is momentary. It's like, everybody works five days a week, 6 days a week, and then they live for the weekend. I used to do that myself. Oh yeah, we're going to live for the weekend. Friday comes, we all go out and have fun. in the bars, in the shops, on the beach, have fun. There is no fun. It's very, very temporary. And you're back to your miserable life again. And this is continual, perpetual cycle of just misery. And then we think that an absence, momentary absence of misery is that happiness. So that is how we actually impart that to them. And then secondly, actually once they've realized that, then they can start reading the Bhagavad Gita to see, well, what is the way out? That's the right question. So basically getting them to that question, what is the way out? This book is the way out. It gives you the answers that you're looking for. You will get relief by just reading one verse from this book. And that's the way I would sort of go about it. Of course, by all means. You're a Sankirtan leader, mate.
There's one interesting one denomination. The way they preach is like, you're all fallen, all of you are sinners, all of you are horrible people. Yeah. Literally, God almost hates you, all
yes.
of you.
Yes.
And then say, but this is the remedy. Yeah. So I'll never really get into that. I wouldn't feel attracted to that.
Sure.
But how we create that situation, is there any special technique how to be honest with them and gently remind them that there are some difficulties in this world, but at the same time, in a very loving, polite way, present some remedy to it?
Yeah.
It's tough, and you can't start a conversation with a person. Oh, you know, look at you. You're
worthless.
Look what you're doing. You're worthless. You're doing very bad. So
like we said in this class, we're trying to develop love for Krishna, and if we present that love, people are naturally attracted to that. Thank you, Prabhu. Ian Prabhu has a question.
Hi, Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Now, I just wanted to ask. Probably if you have any techniques or things that we could do to kind of have a more personal connected relationship with the Acharya form, because you mentioned that as the Lord's mercy. So ways that we can kind of, you know, actually take darshan and feel like we're, connecting with Krishna, and it's not just, for me, I struggle because I like the outfits, so I'm always just commenting on the outfits because they look really nice and I like fashion and stuff. But how can we actually reciprocate with, or not reciprocate, but, acknowledge that this is the Supreme Lord, if you have any techniques?
Thank you for that. Nice question again. We'll go to the left-hand side in a minute. Next, let's think of some questions. So it is said that we're not here, actually. Krishna's just standing there for us to be attracted to him. Krishna's standing there for him to be attracted to us. So actually, all the things that you're already doing, you dance so nicely, your dramas are immaculate, the way that you sing, recitation of shlokas, your memory around how you actually present this philosophy to everyone, that when you preach to the Gita Life course, for example, your podcasts, all the things that that Krishna has actually given you, you're using that in the propensity that pleases him and pleases all the Vaishnavas and the devotees. Why? You're already doing that. So you're already developing that relationship. Deity worship is the last age. This age is exactly all the things that you're doing. So you're pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're pleasing Prabhupada, that's enough. Then go back to Godhead. Simple. So the relationship you can build, yes, of course, we attracted. The reason why the outfits are there, the flowers are there, is to attract us. But it's more to attract the others who haven't come to develop a loving relationship with him, but they've come to just have a look at the temple and do the karma kanda, or put some money in the hundi. Please make my son pass his exams, or please make my business go successful, and so on. But actually, we're looking to develop the love with Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita. And so there, us here at the temple, we've gone beyond that. What we are doing already, we are taking this message to everybody else, waking them up and bringing them to Krishna. That's what pleases him. Hope that answers your question, Prabhu. Vaishnavis? Anything? Mic, please. Sorry, I can't hear. I'm deaf, you see, on this ear especially, and this one.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice class. I just want to ask, there's a statement like, you really can't see Lord.
Is it on? Thank you, yeah.
Like, there's a statement saying that you can't really see Lord, but we see Lord as in his Archavigra form.
Mm-hmm.
We come to the temple to see Lord, but we can't really see the actual Lord. He's there. He's the one who sees us.
Mm-hmm.
So why these two different statements?
But you can't see him?
Oh, I'm just saying that we can't see. Yes, we can see, but we have like false senses.
Yes. Material senses.
Material senses.
Material senses.
Yes.
Very good question. Yes. Again, Prabhupada mentions this part in his class. He actually says, though it is material senses, matter, what is matter? Matter is also Krishna, it's also his energies. So therefore, we can access that matter, that energy, to reciprocate him. Because Maharaj said yesterday in his class, matter and matter go together.
Okay.
Right? So all of our senses are actually material. We are more attracted to that matter because of that material, because matter and matter go together. We are able to remember more of the material, mundane things rather than the spiritual things, rather than the shlokas. Why? Because they are spiritual. Matter and spiritual don't really go. So, we should purify ourselves, get to the soul, the real spiritual us, and then connect that soul to Krishna in that spiritual form. And therefore, we can make that connection better. If we do it with our mundane eyes, ears, etc., we can't do it. So use that soul, use that spiritual energy that's already within us. Through the chanting, we can access that spiritual energy and connect with the deity form, or connect with the name, or connect with the prasadam, in many, many ways, but with full consciousness, full mind, then we can connect with him.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice explanation.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Saras Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
The Saras Prabhu is the most...
The biggest troublemaker.
No. I was going to say the person who actually asks questions very fantastic and valid questions in every class, which is brilliant. Actually, 100%.
I don't know anything, so I'm trying to find out.
That's why I'm sat here, actually. That was my line. So you've already responded to your question.
So could I just add something in my humble opinion?
Absolutely.
Add something
absolutely. Absolutely, please.
So Maharaj talked about Mata yesterday, but it just came to mind, and maybe we could also talk about that matter. There are two parts. So you have got gross matter and you've got subtle matter.
Mm-hmm.
And as one becomes a bit more purified, they can actually perceive the subtle things. And when you see in the deity form, you see you can actually, there's a subtle vibration which is not necessarily spiritual just yet. It's like it's just a subtle vibration which can be detected with the subtle senses.
Mm.
And from there you move on to the spiritual senses, which is pure. But matter itself is not just dull matter. It's got also has a component which is subtle, which you can actually, it's a vibration which you can actually sense. You can't sense it with the dull senses, but it's a subtle senses you can actually pick up the vibrations. And so there is vibration in matter.
Yeah.
So that is detected with the subtle senses, material senses.
Mm.
So we have got the ability, it's there. Sometimes it's not developed, but through purity, purifying oneself, sometimes these things, they come.
So to get rid of the things that we talked about, the anarthas, the dveshas that are within us,
yeah.
we try and put those aside, and we can access that subtlety, yes, the transcendental subtle,
yes,
energy.
Yes, subtle vibration, which nice. Is not even quite yet spiritual, but it's getting there.
Mm. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Tai Gora Premanande.